Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. I'm Joe Gill. It's brought to you by Mid-Soda Trailer Sales and Service right off I-94 in Avon. Let's check in. State Representative and Speaker of the House, Elisa Damath, joining us on Friday as we get closer and closer to the end of session and, well, a lot of work to do in a very unique situation.
I'm down in St. Paul, and there's a lot of work to be done. That's what I'm working on right now, but I do have to say that's what I've been elected to do. And so showing up for our constituents and representing them here in St. Paul is what is on my schedule for the next number of weeks until I can get back in district and see people there.
Let's start on the positive side of all things. Where are we sitting and what positives are you seeing right now as we get closer and closer to the finish line?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And what I'll say is the weather right now is really positive to me. Sunshine, a beautiful day. But as you know, Joe, we've had a really unique situation here in the state of Minnesota in the House of Representatives where we're in a tie. What that means is there's an equal number, 67 Republicans and 67 Democrats here in the House of Representatives. And so we have that opportunity to work together. So the positive is that we are finding ways to do that. You know, we definitely have some sticking points, but we are finding ways to do that and making the best effort to get done on time, which is May 19th. Even though Democrats delayed the start of session by not coming in for 23 days, we are still working really hard together to get that done. That's a positive. That's a positive benefit for Minnesotans. We are also looking at making sure things are affordable. We don't want to raise taxes any more than what we've already seen. So the positive is that we are working hard for Minnesotans, having their best interests in mind.
You mentioned some sticking points. Are there a few that really kind of top the list right now?
Yeah, you know, what we've heard in committees a couple of different times from our Democrat colleagues is when there's a cost to a bill. So that could be in health, you know, in human services, it could be a cost in education. Immediately what they have said, some of them have said, well, we would just raise taxes. And so House Republicans are really dug into the fact that there was an $18 billion surplus that was spent over the last 2 years and taxes and fees on Minnesotans were raised by another 38% or another $10 billion. And Joe, you know, when we talk in District 13A and in Central Minnesota, we start talking about billions and it seems unimaginable, but that's the reality of where we're at. So the sticking points are, for House Republicans specifically, we don't want to raise taxes any more than how we're already taxed. And that is the answer that our Democrat colleagues are trying to bring forward on the House floor, like I said, in committee. So finding ways through that to cut excess costs, to maybe make reductions and finding some cost savings. I like to think of it as right-sizing government so that we're making sure that government stays doing our jobs, but yet in a way that is palatable for Minnesota families. Those are some of the sticking points.
I would say for many around the state, you know, rising costs or extra taxes would be a non-starter. I mean, just for instance, I need new tabs on my car, and my car is 25 plus years old, and it's almost $50 for tabs. I just had a laugh at that when I opened up the envelope the other day.
Well, I appreciate you being able to laugh at that. Most people say things that they're not proud of when they do that, but I think it's really, that is case in point, where decisions are made in St. Paul at such a magnitude that maybe, I know people are listening to your show, they're listening to, you know, when you give me an opportunity to talk with you, or Senator Westrum when he's on your show, or Chair Paul Anderson. People are hearing from us a little bit, but most Minnesotans aren't keeping close eyes on what is happening in St. Paul. And then, like you said, Joe, all of a sudden you get your the registration in the mail and you open it up and you realize your tab fees are really expensive. So it's all of those little things that add up and make it really hard to balance family budgets. And that's what we are trying to prevent. We're just trying to do common sense things that will have a positive impact on the finances and the lives of all Minnesotans in a way that's affordable but responsible.
State Representative Elisa Damath joining us. Lisa, are you guys hearing besides numbers, a budget year? Are you hearing different bills right now too, like policy stuff, or not right now?
Yeah, today on the House floor, we'll actually have the labor workforce bill on the House floor. We'll be debating that. We go in, obviously in the morning, but it's this afternoon after our conversation here that people are going to be able to tune in, and you can tune in live if you want to, but tune in live to watch what's happening. So that's the labor bill. We've had other bills that have moved through. The energy bill has moved through. The Commerce bill has moved through, all of those different ones that have happened. But that is our job between now and the end, is to get our bills off the House floor into a conference committee. So that's matching up the language between the House and the Senate. Then they go back for a brief vote. And then once they're voted on completely by both House and Senate, not necessarily unanimously, but in order to pass, then they go to the governor for his signature. So that's the process where we are. I, along with the other leaders and the governor, have been in meetings looking at the budget and really coming up with, the dollar amounts that will see us through. And those conversations are continuing to be ongoing. And the fact that we're talking, that is a very, very positive thing. We're bringing in all of the perspectives that we've been hearing around the state.
Lisa, you mentioned the voting and the tie in the House scenario. Just to have that instance where you're going to need some bridge over votes right there, either side of the aisle. We haven't seen any of that really this session. I'm sure there's a couple issues and bills there have been, but otherwise that's usually a pretty uphill climb.
Yeah, and because of the tie, any bill that actually does get passed off the House floor, and even out of committee, has taken a bipartisan vote, maybe not a big margin, but that's the way we've been able to move through, the ag bill, the veterans bill, the commerce bill, the human services bill. All of those things have been able to move through with bipartisan support. And that means that maybe the most partisan things have fallen by the wayside, and hitting that middle of the road common sense is what you're seeing in the bills that have been able to pass.
Lisa, I know this week, too, we've had some legislators talk about the topic of Minnesota Care and illegal folks who are residing in the state as well. And there seems to be a fine line of compassion on one end to help people and try and supply a better tomorrow. But on the other side, too, it's also looking at the price tag and the burden it's putting on Minnesota taxpayers.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right, Zoe. That is an area that we can look at as compassionate. But what has been put into law and just started as of January 1st, so it's not something that's been ongoing. Just since January 1st, what it does is it allows someone that is in the state of Minnesota here illegally to have access to Minnesota Care, which is full health insurance, pretty much at no cost. But the thing about it is, normally, if someone, because of their finances, are on Minnesota Care, the federal government pays 90% and the Minnesota taxpayers pay 10%. If someone is here illegally and they're on Minnesota Care, that means that Minnesota taxpayers are paying 100% of the cost for this. And there were estimates of how many people would take advantage of this. There was an estimate of about 5,700 people. As of the 24th of April, Joe, there are over 20,000 people that are here illegally on the Minnesota Care Insurance. We're at almost $1 million being paid out for it, over almost $4 million being paid out for it over time. And so it comes down to the exact math on this, that we can't afford it. Let me say this, though. If people need health insurance, whether they're here illegally or not, they can go on the private market and pay for it on their own. So it's not saying they would be denied. It's just who pays for it and how.
Folks who are, illegal residents saying, I struggle to pay health insurance. And obviously we could go on and on about the topic, So it's alarming to a lot when they hear the numbers that you share too, and the number of illegal folks who are taking part in the program too, way beyond expectations.
Yeah, exactly. And, even bringing it back to something, and I'll say as simple as an increase in your vehicle tab fee. People are finding that it's more expensive to afford their lives. So when you think of Minnesota families that, you know, maybe have one, two, you know, a couple of kids, and they can barely afford, maybe their health insurance through the business they work for, they still have such a huge amount that they're having to pay in for their portion of it, or they're getting it on the private market, it's very expensive. So when you look at the cost of health insurance overall, where Minnesota families are struggling, and then to know that there is just a carve-out of a certain portion of people that are here that have chosen to come to Minnesota and not being here legally, to know that that is being paid for 100% by Minnesota taxpayers, it seems a little bit uneven in the way that we're allocating. Again, the projections of what we're told, you know, we're going to be the case starting, and it only started January 1st of 2025. The projections are now over triple what was expected and growing at this point. So we need to make some common sense, compassionate, but common sense changes to what is in law, because we're in an unsustainable pathway forward on this.
Try going to an ER on a Friday or a Saturday night. You're going to be waiting 5 to 6 hours. You know, it's also on the negative side, I think, overtaking maybe staffing issues we'll see at a hospital or an ER, you know?
Yep, exactly. You are exactly right. So it's looking at it from all perspectives. So many of the decisions that we make here in St. Paul, when you really start looking at the details rather than maybe just some catchy headlines that might be out there, when you look at the details, there's more to it than the general public would know just at first glance. And that's where conversations are important to have and a full understanding as people make their decisions.
Lisa, finally, anything else we need to touch on before we must scoot here for the weekend?
Yes, Joe, there is. So we know we have fishing opener tomorrow morning, and I'm sorry I can't invite you to join me at my house, because I've been invited by the governor to be up at the governor's fishing opener, along with the other leaders. So that's where I will be fishing from Cross Lake. I hope to next week, Joe, report on my great catch. I hope that's how it's going to turn out. The other thing is, though, I want to make sure that I wish all of the women out there a happy Mother's Day. It's going to be a beautiful day on Sunday. So however people choose to celebrate or to recognize the day, I just hope it's a good day for everybody.
State Representative and Speaker of the House, Elisa Damuth, joining us on Chasm Radio. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report brought to you by Mid-Soda Trailer Sales and Service.